Nothing pictures God's relationship with his people better than a shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd's staff could have been Israel's national symbol, because the most familiar scene in Judea was a shepherd standing on a hillside tending his flock. God borrows this picture and applies it to himself. For example, the prophet Isaiah says of Messiah, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Jesus declared, "I am the good shepherd," not the good teacher, or the good psychologist, or the good moral leader, or even the good CEO. A shepherd is what we need most. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and you're listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. That's the way one of the most popular chapters in all the Bible begins. Psalm 23 is a short chapter, only 6 verses, but it packs plenty of punch. Over the course of the next month, Ron takes a deep dive into this Psalm of David, showing us what it means for Jesus to be our good shepherd and for us to be his sheep. To get things started today, Ron takes us to John chapter 10 and to Christ's own words. Stay with us here or visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, check out our digital library, where Ron uses his 30 years of Bible teaching ministry to answer some of your toughest questions. From his teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd, here's Ron with today's message, Meet the Good Shepherd.
James Rebanks, probably not a name that you recognize, but he is a third generation livestock farmer that lives in northern England. That's where he carries on the family tradition of shepherding sheep. That's right, James Rebanks, as odd as it may seem to us, is a 21st century shepherd, a sheep herder. He's also the author of a New York Times best-selling book titled The Shepherd's Life. I mean, who would have ever thought that a man's musings about something as otherworldly as shepherding would become a New York Times page-turner? But it did just a few years ago. Geraldine Brooks understands why readers were so drawn to the book. She was one of the reviewers on the book, and she noted how Rebanks writes about a kind of deep-rooted life that is all but lost in the developing world, she says. Her words, all but lost, are a bit of an understatement. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Few of us have ever met a real shepherd, a real sheep herder. I mean, we have dogs and cats and, I don't know, fish and maybe reptiles as pets. Maybe we know a farmer that has cattle and horses, but not many that have sheep. And frankly, shepherds do not exist in the crowded concrete landscapes that you and I live in. We have to travel to remote places to get some sense and to have some appreciation of a shepherd's life, let alone learn from the sheep that are under his care. Rebanks describes his life of solitude there in northern England and admits, "Sometimes I'm left alone somewhere on the mountain, waiting for the others, alone in the silence. Skylarks rise, ascending in song," he writes. "Sometimes there are moments when not a sheep or a man can be seen. Away in the distance, I can see the main roads and the villages. No one really knows how long this fell gathering," his way of describing the shepherding experience. "Nobody really knows how long this has happened, but it is quite possibly as much as 5,000 years. Now think about that. 5,000 years is about as long as the record of human history. And as much as we pride ourselves on our modern advances, I think it would be good for us to learn from some practice, like the practice of shepherding, that has stood the test of time. and to resist the urge to update the biblical imagery. For instance, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," it would be foolish for us to try and update his teaching by making him say, "Well, I am the good CEO." No, let's not go there. Or when King David writes Psalm 23 and says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's not the same as saying the Lord is my tech support and he keeps my laptop running smoothly. No, let's just not go there. It's on us to travel back to those remote places, to those poetic and pastoral hillsides. Thousands of years ago, in the ancient paths marked out by the ancient scriptures, and understand and appreciate what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the good shepherd," and what King David knew and appreciated when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And here are all the reasons I'm really, really excited about that. The shepherd and sheep imagery in the Bible is well documented. The words sheep and shepherd and lamb and flock, they appear about 800 times in the ancient scriptures, both the Old and the New Testaments. Of course, this imagery is at the heart of Psalm chapter 23, the best known and most beloved psalm. There's hardly a person on the planet that has not heard of Psalm 23. Maybe you can recite it, all six verses by memory, or a portion of it is dear to you. The Lord is my shepherd, writes King David. And this is a David who spent much of his younger life tending his father's sheep, tending his father's sheep in preparation to lead a nation. That was King David. Now, why does the Bible compare us and compare God's people to sheep? Why not to lions or tigers or cheetahs? I'd rather be compared to a sleek cheetah than a woolly, sheep. But the Bible compares us to sheep. Sheep are not strong and independent creatures. They're notoriously directionless. They're defenseless animals. Did you know that sheep do not hunt for their food? They're not predators. There's no other animal in the wild kingdom that fears the predatory nature of sheep. You'll never see a hyena chasing or running away from, rather, a sheep. It's the other way around, right? And so in that way, sheep are kind of pathetic creatures. They're entirely dependent upon the shepherd who cares for them. Sheep are also dumb. They're just not very smart animals. One of them can walk right off a cliff and the rest of the flock will just follow to their own death. They're not leaders, they're crowd followers. And that's why they need a shepherd to lead them. Sheep are also prone to wander away from the protective flock. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 famously said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all gone our own way, but the Lord has laid upon him, our great shepherd, the iniquity of us all." The hymn writer said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." Maybe you're here today, but you're a wandering sheep, and you've wandered back in the vicinity of God's flock, and that's a good reason to be here today. And for all of these reasons and a whole lot more, it's a little bit humbling to think of ourselves as the sheep of God's pasture. But Psalm chapter 79 and Psalm chapter 100 describe us that way. We are the sheep, not the cheetahs or the lions or the tigers of God's pasture. We are the sheep of God's pasture. And he is our good shepherd. And so before we jump into Psalm chapter 23 and really drill down on the depths of this beloved psalm, let's stop off in John chapter 10. Where Jesus made these two declarative statements. There are actually seven of these types of statements in the Gospel of John. We call them the great I am statements, where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "I am the true vine," and so forth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him." I mean, these are powerful declarative statements. Twice in John chapter 10, he makes an I am statement. I am the door to the sheep. We need to understand that. We need to travel back in time and understand what that means and why he used that metaphor to describe himself. And then he declared, "I am the good shepherd." And because he speaks metaphorically, he blends the two images throughout his John 10 discourse there. He is both the door to the sheepfold and the shepherd who walks in and out of this same enclosure. So let's keep that in mind. And let's begin with the first declaration. He says, I am the door to the sheep. That's where he begins in John chapter 10 and verse 1. You follow along as I read this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, there's a lot in there, and we could spend all of our time just unpacking this first imagery. I am the door of the sheep. Let me just highlight a few things. Picture in your mind an enclosure in the middle of a field surrounded by a wall of rocks. The shepherd builds the walls high enough so the sheep can't, you know, jump over the walls. Doesn't take much because they're not real athletic, all right? He might also put some thorny bushes on the tops of the walls to discourage the thieves and the predators from coming over those walls. There's a small opening in the wall that allows the sheep to enter and to exit the fold. You got the picture so far? And then at night, the shepherd lays across that opening, in effect making himself the door to the sheepfold. And all of this kind of portrays, in a metaphorical kind of way, the inner life and the outer life that we all experience. We all have an inner life to which our shepherd wants to travel, to enter into those places that maybe you keep hidden from somebody else. We have an inner life represented by the inside of that sheepfold. But our good shepherd also wants to lead us out of that inner life into the outer life and the outer experiences that we have. And he leads us and guides us as our good shepherd in both of those occasions.
Up next, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Today's message is part of Ron's teaching series, Psalm 23 and Me, Living the Good Life with the Good Shepherd. Watch or listen to the entire series at your convenience in the Something Good digital library at somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, you can also download Ron's sermon notes for today's message. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Whenever you stop by, you're invited to share your prayer requests with us. Use the Explore feature at the top of the homepage, where you'll find the How Can We Pray For You option. Our ministry team will be happy to join you in prayer, so contact us anytime. What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the door of the sheep? Find out next as we continue today's Something Good radio message, Meet the Good Shepherd. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
Now, if Jesus is the door of the sheep, what kind of door is he? Let me suggest two ways to drill down a little bit here. First, he's a door of defense. The primary responsibility of any shepherd is to protect his sheep. Certainly, the shepherd must love his sheep, he must lead his sheep, he must feed his sheep, but he must protect his sheep. That's because the sheep are easy prey for predators such as lions and tigers and cheetahs. And as a warning, Jesus mentions the thieves and the robbers and the strangers several times in John chapter 10. He warns us about that. At night, when the shepherd lies down across the opening to the sheepfold, he puts his own life at risk for any predators that may come. And he is the last line of defense for the defenseless sheep. But the shepherd who loves his sheep will put himself in that place. The threat to the sheep is real, and it should not be minimized. And what's true in the animal kingdom, okay, you can build the bridge to the spiritual kingdom as well. Jesus is a door of defense. He protects his sheep, primarily against the wiles of the devil. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He'll try to get you to believe he has your best intentions in mind, but he doesn't. Every temptation is meant to lure you away from God and to a place that is bad and not in your best interest. The Apostle Paul warned the church at Ephesus that fierce wolves might attack the flock upon his departure. He was a church planting missionary, and he came to Ephesus. He served at Ephesus for 3 years, longer than any other church where he served. And it was time to move on. And in Acts chapter 20, there's that great scene where he heads out to the shoreline to catch a ship. And he's there with the elders and they're weeping. And his last words to them were warnings about fierce wolves that would attack the flock of God. And every pastor takes that seriously, understanding that as a pastor, as an elder of a church, as a leader of a church, part of your responsibility is to protect that congregation from fierce wolves that try to make their way into a church with all kinds of bad intentions. The Bible says much more about how Jesus, the Good Shepherd, protects his sheep. I think of Psalm chapter 91, which is known as the Soldier's Psalm. Many soldiers have gone into battle with Psalm 91 in their hip pocket. It begins, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." And the fact that we are in relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ puts us under God's protection plan. Not to say that harm will never befall you, but to say that God will never leave you nor forsake you in troubled times and in difficult times. So he is our door of defense. And by faith in Christ, you come under his protective canopy there. But Jesus is also the door of direction, okay? Some doors have signs on them that provide us with direction. I'm looking at a door at the back of our auditorium that has an exit sign. So, you know, there's a directional sign there. Maybe on the other side it says entrance. Those kinds of doors. And just as relationship is the key to being under God's protection plan, we must be in relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ to receive direction from our Good Shepherd. Are you looking for direction today? Where do you go to find direction? Do you look inside? Do you talk to your friends or the best counsel that you can get? Well, the Good Shepherd leads his sheep out of the fold, out into the outer arena of our lives, and he leads them, the scripture says. Look again at verse 3. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I love this part of the discourse here. It tells us that our Good Shepherd knows us by name. This may be a little unsettling for you, but have you ever thought that God knows you better than you know yourself? He's got your name. He knows your name. He knows where you've been, what you're doing. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent everywhere at all times. The psalmist David reflected upon that in Psalm 139 and thought it was wonderful, okay? But if you're a wandering sheep trying to run away from your good shepherd, it's a little unsettling to know that he knows where I've been. He knows my name. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name, and out of that personal relationship, he leads them in and out of the sheepfold. And in time, the sheep learn the shepherd's name. And when he calls them by name, they respond to him. Simple illustration, but when I, you know, dial up my phone and call my wife, I don't have to say, "Hi, it's Ron." She recognizes my voice. Or maybe it's just the caller ID on the other end. I don't know which. But after, you know, 28 years of marriage, hopefully she recognizes my voice. And I recognize her voice. If I call a stranger that I don't know, I have to identify myself. They don't recognize my voice. But the shepherd knows us by name, and the sheep follow him, and God's sheep, Jesus' disciples, recognize his voice. Now, how does the good shepherd speak to us today? How do we learn how to hear the voice of God? You say, Pastor, that'll get you sent to the psych ward. You say, well, I hear voices. No, seriously, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So it begs the question, how is God speaking to us today? How does our good shepherd speak to his sheep? And how do we hear the voice of God? Let me just summarize something we could spend a long time on. Primarily, God speaks to us through his word. It's called the Bible, okay? Through his written word, which, by the way, is all about testifying to the living word, who is Jesus Christ. If you were with us over the last year and a half or so, we went book by book through the Bible, one book of the Bible per week, 66 weeks, 66 books of the Bible, and what did we learn? It's one story, it's God's story, and it's about one main character. In the Old Testament, it's the Messiah or the Christ who is to come. In the New Testament, it's all about the Christ who came and who promised to come again. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us, you know, in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets. The prophets of old did not say, I come in the name of Ron. No, they said, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, the writer of Hebrews says, he speaks to us through his son, Jesus Christ. We call this specific revelation.
How's your devotional life going lately? Be encouraged to immerse yourself in God's word daily, continually, and for the rest of your life. Show me a Bible that's falling apart, and I'll show you a person who isn't. If you missed part of Dr. Ron Jones' message, or if you'd like to hear it again, just stop by somethinggoodradio.org anytime to listen on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
The song Route 66 by Bobby Troup captured the heartbeat of a generation that dreamed of traveling the open road on US 66 from Chicago, Illinois to Santa Monica, California.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Get your kicks on Route 66 became the rally cry and part of the song's popular lyric. If reading the 66 books of the Bible was like a Route 66 road trip across America, people might do more than casually flip through the best-selling book of all time. That idea captured my heart and inspired me to write a book called The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, making the Bible's story accessible to a new generation of people. Get your kicks on the biblical Route 66. Join me on the ultimate road trip through the Bible.
Ron's new book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, is now available as a two-volume set covering the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments. For a gift of $50 or more, request your copy of the set. When you order the print books, you will also get unlimited access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The Digital Library contains 66 video sermons, 66 audio messages, 66 downloadable sermon notes, and 8 ebooks. To order your copy of The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, Volumes 1 and 2, through the Old and New Testaments, go to somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible makes a great addition to any home library. Request both volumes today at somethinggoodradio.org. Now, here's Ron and a preview of tomorrow's message.
Maybe in some way, people that you thought were trustworthy and had good intentions betrayed that trust, and you have positioned yourself at arm's length or more from people and even from God. Don't confuse that hurtful experience with Jesus. He is a good shepherd. And he'll enter into any area of our life, whether that's the exterior or the interior, with good intentions. always with good intentions.
That's next time when Dr. Ron Jones shares part two of his message, Meet the Good Shepherd. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.